Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
In Georgia, the father of a 14-year-old mass shooter is arrested in connection to the shooting. In Louisiana, a man is sentenced after the murder of an ex-Baton Rouge police officer. And in Tennessee, a preacher's house is shot up. These stories and more coming at you today, Tuesday, September 10th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And we're back in effect on a Tuesday.
Back in the saddle.
Hey,
you never had a day off since we started this shit.
Anyway,
we had a miscommunication about me doing one show, and then you didn't want it off.
You confused me. I'm like, what do you mean I got a day off? You fire me? What you trying to do?
It's all good. All good in the hood.
Jim, you got a permanent day off.
How you get fired on your day off?
Yeah, how the hell is that possible?
You remember that movie Friday?
Yeah. Who the fuck, you get fired on your day off?
Hey, look at my
face. That's a great movie. Oh, she's a cutie.
Yeah,
showing a picture of my grandbaby, y'all. All right, a couple things. Naturally, we have a storm coming, and it's the first time in 2 years that any kind of named storm really even has a probable chance of hitting Louisiana, which is in my 30 years of working them and everything else. The last 2 years is the first time that we hadn't had any type of, not even a named tropical storm hit us. And of course, the year before that's when we all lost everything with Hurricane Ida. So everybody stay safe. Gas up your vehicles. Go ahead and get your bottled waters.
Charge up everything.
Fill up your bathtubs with water so you can use that to flush your toilets. These are little tricks from people that have been without power for 20 days.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be able to get, if you go and get something, get it today. Because even if it's a small storm, people are going to buy everything out.
That's right.
Just get your batteries and shit and stay prepared. Stay safe. Do not, if the power goes out and stuff and trees are down and shit, don't go near them.
Right.
Power lines. And more, we had more people get killed by touching power lines than any storm that I work.
Really?
Yep. And the other thing, don't steal your neighbor's generator. Don't be a fucking asshole. If you don't take the time to get your own generator and gas, we used to work those in the middle of the night. People might have their one little AC running, chilling their family, all sleeping in the same room, and they said just go quiet because generators are loud, and some crackheads are out there stealing your generator.
Yeah.
But anyway, y'all stay safe, and we love and appreciate each and every one of you. And let's get down to some true crime time for Tuesday.
All right, and we're going to start off in Georgia, and just a horrible story. If you've been watching the news, you certainly have seen a lot of aspects of this deal I'm about to tell you about. But the father of a 14-year-old accused of shooting and killing two teachers and two students was arrested in connection to the deadly Georgia school shooting that rocked a small community. Investigators announced this just a couple of days ago. The teen suspect, Colt Gray's father, which is Colin Gray, was arrested and charged with two counts of second-degree murder, 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter and 8 counts of cruelty to children after 2 14-year-old students and 2 teachers were killed in that mass shooting in Winder, Georgia. 9 other people, 8 students and 1 teacher were wounded and hospitalized, all of whom are expected to survive, thankfully. While investigators provided few details about the father's role in the shooting, they acknowledged the sheriff's office visited the family home in Jefferson, Georgia in May of 2023 to respond to reports that then 13-year-old Colt Gray allegedly made threats to shoot up the local public middle school on the social media app Discord. Colin Gray said that his son had some problems at his previous middle school, but that it had gotten a lot better since he changed schools. The father also told investigators during that visit that he had hunting rifles in the house, adding, "Colt is allowed to use them when supervised, but does not have unfettered access to them." In addition, the teen denied making mass shooting threats on Discord, saying he had never made any comments about shooting up a school. The director of the GBI, which is the investigative unit investigating this, said Thursday it was a difficult time for the community. You'll all have likely seen reports of the incidents of other students making threats at various schools around the state. In each of these incidents, we investigate and make arrests where needed. So that is the, I guess, the breaking news on that. And
yeah,
we covered a similar case where a father was arrested, put in jail, and a mother in the state.
And we talked about this on Friday, this case, and so the FBI got the initial tip, and then they called the local sheriff's office and they sent them out on that thing when that's when the dad made the statements. Mm-hmm. Now, I read this morning, I believe it was the mother had called, evidently had called the home like 30 minutes before the shooting or something, and made statements about the son going to do a shooting. I don't know if she knew he had the guns or whatever happened.
Yeah.
But that's going to partake in it. And, you know, certainly they want somebody to pay for it, but the dad did make the statements. Let's talk about this. Anytime, think about this one, right? The shooting that happened after the kid was investigated. Think about all the ones that they go out and investigate and speak to that'll scare the kid from not actually doing it.
Right.
And in this case, the dad said, he doesn't have unfettered access. Well, mother evidently he did. And they're trying him as an adult for his 4 murders. And then think about this. The 4 dead, but all the ones that are wounded. And look, it's not like this 14.
Yeah, those could be dead.
I think about the amount of shooting that takes is what I'm saying, because not every one of the bullets that he fired would it just hit these wounded victims and the ones that he killed.
Right.
He shot up.
Yeah.
Right. That's a lot of bullets, bro. Like 9 people that were wounded, I think, and 4 that are dead. How do you, I would imagine, I don't know. The dad's probably got some answer to do, especially with what I read this morning about the mom calling right ahead of time and saying that she thought it was going to happen or whatever. And evidently he didn't pay attention. I don't know.
Horrible situation. It just don't seem like this happened a whole lot back in our day. I don't want to sound old, but
it never happened.
You didn't hear a whole lot about it. We had hunting rifles in our traps, man.
I would go straight from the stand or the woods to school, and I always had guns in my vehicle.
Yeah.
You know? And people just didn't do it, right? And it's, I don't know. It happens over and over and over again, and I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, and it's kind of scares the hell out of me for my granddaughter coming up. Yeah.
A lot of these shootings and, you know, our whole society's changed. I remember watching Donald Trump speak and now he has the glass around.
Right.
And I think about the rest of the world and they see that and they're used to that.
Right.
Yeah. The rest of the world, I'm at least not used to seeing that in the United States.
I'm not either. And this next story, we're going to go to Mount Juliet, Tennessee. And it's another case like that. And Police said that roughly 30 to 40 shell casings were recovered at Greg Locke's home in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. And y'all, Greg Locke is a pastor. Okay. It's a shooter or shooters opened fire on the Tennessee pastor's house late Tuesday night, firing dozens of bullets into the residence while one of the pastor's children was home. The Wilson County Sheriff's Office says it is investigating the Tuesday night shooting and that approximately 30 to 40 shell casings were recovered. And the officers responded to the home around 10:30 p.m. local time. And the sheriff's office said no one was hit or injured during the incident, and the detectives are actively working on the case. Sheriff's office spokesperson says there were multiple shots that had penetrated the house, the garage, and a vehicle. Now, Locke is the lead pastor at Global Vision Bible Church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and he's drawn lots of controversy over his conservative views and his church practices, which have at times included burning books, etc. And on social media, Locke shared photographs showing investigators marking evidence outside his home, writing in a lengthy Facebook post that the gunfire erupted about a minute before he pulled into his driveway. And he also wrote one of his children was in the house when the shooting occurred, but thankfully the child wasn't injured. And he described his house as a full-blown crime scene. And he wrote that, according to the security cam footage, we pulled into our driveway exactly 1 minute after a madman unloaded an entire magazine of bullets from an automatic weapon into our house, garage, and my truck. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
What the fuck, right? And I mean, y'all can go check out his social media. They have the audio from the shooting, from the whatever that camera was, and then he shows all the photos of his house, with the bullet holes, and there's a blurry photo of a pillow on a bed, and that a bullet cut through, and somebody had been sleeping there.
Oh, they're done.
Be dead, right? And that was his youngest daughter's bed. It's like the bullets lodged in her pillow.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
Fucking crazy.
Well, and they had one in Baton Rouge, there's nothing little about it, but a drive-by shooting recently where a child was killed. Yep. You know, the bullet wasn't intended for the child, but they were in bed sleeping and sadly.
Yeah. I talked about it on Bloody and Gold. That one case that the guy's down for life and they, went over and shot up the house. They knew people were in there, but like the 14-year-old killed, laying on top of his brother or sister, you know?
Yep.
I don't know.
All right, we're going to go to Baton Rouge. Speaking of Baton Rouge, and a Baton Rouge judge last Wednesday convicted a man of shooting a retired BRPD policeman 4 years ago when the officer intervened in a vehicle break-in near his home. After listening to 3 days of testimony, which is actually a good bit of length of time for cases these days, it seems like most of them. District Judge Gail Horn Ray deliberated 45 minutes before finding Craig Leland Willis guilty of manslaughter. Willis shot and killed Ryan Gibbs Horde during an April 26, 2020 encounter about 300 yards from Horde's doorstep. Horde, who was 41, spent years working as an officer for the BRPD before he retired from law enforcement to start his own construction company. The ex-officer confronted Willis moments after he was spotted on security cameras trying to break into a pickup truck parked in Horde's driveway in the 100 block of Richland Avenue. Wednesday's verdict was a final culmination of a bench trial that Willis, 33, opted for this week. And that's interesting. I want to talk about that after. He asked Judge Ray to listen to the evidence and decide if he was guilty of second-degree murder, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and simple burglary in connection with the killing. In ruling, ruling Willis is guilty of manslaughter, Ray spared Willis the automatic life sentence he faced if he was convicted of murder. The judge found him guilty of the two remaining counts and set an October 30th court date for Willis's sentencing. He faces up to 72 years combined in prison on the three charges. Today marks a significant day of closure for me and my family, said Hoard's son Blaine, who was 15 at the time. Justice was finally served after 4.5 years of delays in the court system. There isn't a day that goes by we don't think of my dad, your neighbor, or friend Ryan Hoard. As the verdict was read, Blaine Hoard sat in the courtroom with several family members, including his father's fiance, Natalie Butler. Both of them took the stand to testify during the trial. So, according to the trial testimony, Butler notified Hoard shortly before midnight that she saw a man trying to break into his pickup truck through security cameras. Willis tugged on one of the door handles and continued to walk south down the street because the door was locked. After Butler showed Hoard the surveillance footage, he got in his truck and began driving down the street. Prosecutors say Willis had broken into a neighbor's Ford Focus three houses down by the time Hoard confronted him a little over a minute later. The two men exchanged gunfire when Hoard got out of his truck and ordered Willis to get on the ground. Prosecutors say Willis emptied all 8 rounds from a stolen 9mm Smith & Wesson, striking Hoard in the chest before he fled and left Hoard for dead. The victim's fiance rushed to his aid, but he died at the scene. Willis was wounded in the shootout, and police later captured him one block away. Now, it's interesting to note that Willis was released from prison 9.5 months prior to the shooting after serving 10 years for an armed robbery conviction. So he was prohibited from owning or possessing a gun. Willis and his defense team insisted he was forced to shoot Hoard in self-defense after the deceased fired shots at him first, but prosecutors told the judge that the recent prison sentence served as Willis' motive to gun Hoard down. Basically, they're saying that he didn't want to go back to jail,
right,
and serve the rest of his sentence. So that's the kind of the facts of the case. And I wanted to spend a little time talking about this one because there's a lot of moving parts. Of course, all of us in that position are thinking, man, we'd probably grab a gun too and go down the street and try to catch this guy. But what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that let's start with it being a bench trial is what they call it.
Yep.
And he didn't want to go in
a jury
because they were going to hang his ass and that, right? So the judge, most of them really are impartial. So they gave the verdict. Now, as far as it, go down the street. You saw him on breaking into your vehicle. Go down the streets. You confront him. And that's what they got grand juries for, bro. I don't know. I mean, because I can promise you, I probably would have done the same thing. But
is it the right thing to do?
But this guy's an ex-cop. But how do you take that out? If you're a normal citizen, call 911 and say the dude's going down the street, and they'll get somebody over. So 107P is a suspicious person to do it, and it could have been avoided. But it also could have been avoided if this asshole hadn't been in the neighborhood breaking into vehicles.
That's right. And he definitely put himself in that position. It's horrible that this happened. This guy was just trying to stop somebody from breaking in cars. But you do open yourself up to that.
Yeah.
Any of us, when we encounter that, and I struggle to think, had he just called the cops? Because he wasn't a cop at the time.
Yeah.
He was a citizen at the time. Had he just called the cops, he'd be alive today.
Yeah. And it could have been he called the cops and then the cop would have got shot. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's trying. Well, I guess he was trying too, right. But. I don't know, man. I feel horrible for his family and
they killed because of some fucking crackhead. Or
does this guy have any self defense claim?
I'm sure he tried to claim it. The judge found it the way he found it.
Yeah.
And you can't take the cop out of the cop.
And Woody's tough to crack, yo.
Can't take the cop out of the cop on an album, because I'm going to tell you that I'd have gone down there too. And then that's, but you know, that's why I tell, like, the, I used to do the consulting for the, you know, the Lee Michaels, the jury stores and stuff like that. I'm like, let them take it. Yeah.
Property's not worth your life.
Call the cops, because you don't ever know who you're fucking with. That's the problem. Yeah. This dude didn't want to go back to prison. Sergeant Vicky Wax, Baton Rouge PD, many, many, many years ago. Veteran working at the old Walmart off of, that bar was right there. Well, they always had music on Thursday nights. Anyway, in Baton Rouge, right off the interstate, off Acadian. And she was working next to Dee Dee, and Dee was stealing like a $10 DVD. And she went to stop him, and he took a pistol and killed her, because he was going to be a 3-time felon.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you never know who
you're dealing with.
Who you're dealing with. The happy note. Ooh, it's been a long time.
The happy note was my was up there on McDonald's. But yeah. What was the name of the one? They always had bands and shit. I used to see Allison Krausen there back in the day. Anyway, it was right there off Acadian in that shopping center. But
Ricky B's?
Something else. It's going to come to me in a minute. And we used to go there and listen to a lot of good live music.
Well,
I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it.
Yeah. You know? Glad to see at least some resolution.
Yeah, for the family, and the guy will appeal it and everything else, and that's his right. But
yeah,
I hate that anybody got killed because of some
idiot.
That's right. And then let me tell you about this idiot. Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject?
IXL now.
Is your child ahead,
real life,
not getting challenged enough in class?
Get an exclusive
IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts,
visit IXL.com/today
while adopting to each child,
to get the most meeting them where they are. Program
plus, IXL encourages students to be curious, empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the 9th grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is just a stupid, 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 stupid sad story. Asher Lepping, 2 years old, was pronounced dead from his injuries at a hospital on September the 2nd, according to the police. And he was a two-year-old riding his tricycle in a cul-de-sac of his gated Florida neighborhood when he got run over by a silver Toyota Tacoma, which had a teenager driving it.
Yeah.
That was drunk. Drunk. And he came barreling down toward him, striking him, and pulled the child behind the truck. Right? Yeah, so Kristen and Daniel Lepping, the parents, began yelling at the driver, who was identified as Joshua Aiden Montero. This before he hit him. They're yelling at him, slow down, slow down. But he didn't, and the truck hit the child and dragged him several feet and left a trail of blood marks behind him. It was around 7:15 p.m. local time on Monday, September the 2nd. So one of the neighbors conducted CPR on the toddler, and they identified the Asher Lepping, as Asher Lepping, but the child was later pronounced dead at the hospital, and Montero is charged with felony DUI, manslaughter, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, it's crazy, bro. The cops said our agency is deeply saddened at the loss of this precious little boy. And we hope that justice prevails for the little boy's family, and our hearts go out to his family during this heartbreaking time. At the scene, Asher's mom told the police that told them exactly what happened, a narrative of events, which is what they used for a probable cause affidavit. And she said the vehicle's front tire completely ran over her son. And
one decision away from ruining your life and other people's.
And it's just crazy. But when they were driving him to jail, Montero told the officer that he was drunk, but not, in his words, drunk or too drunk to drive.
Really?
Yeah. So
that his blood alcohol sounds different.
Exactly. I'm about to tell you. The two breath samples, he registered a 0.062 and a 0.057. And both are over the legal limit, as he is under the age to drink.
Oh, so there you go.
But let me finish it up real quick. When they asked him if he'd been drinking, he first told investigators he had 15 cans of Michelob Ultra, and then he changed that number to 3 or 4 cans over a 4-hour period. He said he had been at the beach, right? And he also, the teenager, admitted to recreational cocaine use and told the officer that he had consumed 2 grams over the past 2 days, but that he had not had any that day due to his girlfriend not allowing him to. It just goes on and on. What a shithead he is. Golly, prayers go out to that kid. I mean, you live in a cul-de-sac, right? So you think nobody's coming down here, and people come down here, they're going to drive slow. My house, we had a Marpaw. Look, you can speed down the street, and it's 15 miles an hour, not because of kids stuff, but it's because you have respect for your neighbors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that was a dead-end cul-de-sac, right? And you don't expect somebody to come down there and run over your two-year-old on a tricycle.
No. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Awful. Well, speaking of young kids, I got a young kid story for you that you're not going to believe. A 10-year-old boy in Louisiana, 10 years old, is in custody after he reportedly admitted to fatally shooting an 82-year-old former mayor and his 31-year-old daughter in Mendon, Louisiana. Joe Cornelius and his daughter Keisha Miles were found dead inside a Mendon residence according to local police. The victim had been shot several times. Victims have been shot several times. We have the suspect in custody now, Minden Police Chief Jared McClever said of the 10-year-old, adding, we have a confession from the suspect. However, McClever said that the cases involving juveniles are complex. We've got a confession, but in these cases, you're in, it's very delicate. When you're dealing with a child of this age, you know, in their stage, we're looking at, was their motive? What was the motive? It's one of those things that we've still got a lot of unanswered questions. He added that although the child was scared, he appeared to have the mindset to commit a crime like this. What? It wasn't immediately clear what type of mindset the chief was referring to. Authorities did not release information about the nature of the child's relationship with the victims. The child was accompanied by his grandmother, who is his legal guardian, for questioning during the investigation.
Because they got to have somebody there. You can't question a juvenile without their guardian.
Right. And Cornelius was a well-known figure in the community, briefly serving as interim mayor of Minden in 2013. Absolutely bizarre and crazy. Here's my question. 10 years old, can you do anything?
No, well, not technically no, unless they try them as older. When I used to work at Florida Parish Juvenile Detention Center, and that was where, like I say, not a hug a thug program. It's, you know, you go there for bad shit.
Yeah.
And the murders and robberies and rapes and shit like that. But they wouldn't even take anybody under 11. 11 was the youngest they would take them.
10 years old is so young.
That's crazy. Crazy. I wonder if it's like his other grandparents or something. I mean, how the hell do you murder two people when you're 10?
And it's really bizarre to me. The chief made the statement. It appears he had the mindset.
Yeah.
Like he's a little devil or something. Well, right? Like,
but probably, you know, they were talking to him. He was like, yeah, I went and got the gun because I was mad at him and I shot him, right? That would show mindset. You know?
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, simple as that. And some people are just fucking throw it off, man, full of evil, even kids.
It's horrible and it's tragic. Man was 82 years old. You've already outlived life expectancy, and he goes and it's murdered. It's horrible.
10 years old and double murder. That's going to be interesting to see what happens with that
one. It will. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, that, you better believe there's a whole lot more that's going to come out on it. Now, LSU played in Vegas, and of course they lost, y'all, and that's all right. But, you know, I used to go out to Vegas sometimes for pleasure. I went out there a lot for work when I was working all over the country. And we're going to go out there again. But we need to call Roy and Kristen on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's for this one. Well, a Las Vegas woman stole a $2,600 casket with a body from a funeral home and told police she blacked out from drinking 6 beers.
Really?
Patricia Sierra,
she's a lightweight.
Patricia Sierra, 47, is accused of breaking into the Affordable Cremation and Burial Service funeral home on August 27th by smashing the front window and reaching through to unlock the door. She is then accused of taking a casket out the front door, and it's according to the Las Vegas Police Department. And they received a call about a suspicious person lying face down in front of a funeral home, as well as a casket in front of the business, which also seemed to have been burglarized. Now, upon arrival, officers found a door to the funeral home with broken glass and the casket sitting on a cart on a sidewalk near the funeral home. They then discovered a body, which had been in the casket and had arrived at the funeral home 7 days before. Its feet covered with plastic bags, and lying face down on some rocks near the front of the property. Now, flower petals were inside the viewing room of the funeral home, which officers found to be otherwise untouched. Yeah, I guess this person spread out some flower petals. I don't know. They had the, and the place was untouched except for the broken glass and the door that was ajar. And they reviewed the camera surveillance footage, and it showed a woman breaking into the funeral home and coming and going multiple times.
Mm.
She was in and out, in and out. Also found, they also found and observed on surveillance video a red BMX bicycle. I guess that was her wheels to get there.
Oh my God.
At the scene, police were approached by a construction worker who claimed he saw a woman on the day of the incident who matched the description of the suspect captured in the surveillance video, holding flowers and sitting on one of the funeral home's exterior walls. The Affordable Cremation and Burial Service declined to comment on the incident. They were only able to identify her following a call on August 29th regarding a suspicious person at a 7-Eleven, with the caller claiming he had spotted the suspected casket thief at the convenience store wearing the same clothing from the day of the incident. So the same guy,
yeah,
that reported, he said, oh shit, she's right there at 7-Eleven. She's still wearing the same shit a couple of days later. Right?
Ain't gonna be hard to try.
Right? So she was located and detained under reasonable suspicion of stealing the casket. And when officers began to explain how she was caught on surveillance footage and the scene had been processed for DNA and fingerprints, she claims she often blacks out due to a substance abuse problem. Now, Sierra was charged that same day with burglary of a business, grand larceny, and the removal, transfer, and distribution of human remains. And her mama said 11 grand. But police said she used the red BMX bike as a means of transport. And she admitted using a rock to break a window was her common method to burglarize businesses.
If it works.
Right? The documents... reporter described her as an apologetic light, and as she explained, she was not actively spiteful in her alleged actions and did not intend to steal the casket. What the fuck are you gonna do with a casket,
bro? I got so many things to say.
Right. So let me finish real quick. Sierra had apparently blacked out after drinking the beers, causing her not to remember committing the crimes, and That's it. There you have it.
First of all, if you black out all six beers, what the hell?
I have
you
no
need, you need to take Woody Everton drinking lesson.
That ain't going to get me started.
But then, look, caskets are heavy.
I know.
And I would imagine especially heavy with bodies in them.
I don't know, bro. That
might be the first time I've ever heard of someone breaking into a funeral.
Yeah,
I'm sure it happens. But
well.
That's not the first place I'd think to, if I'm looking for mischief.
And then she's like, yeah. And they said, well, it was, we got you on surveillance tape and then the door was broken with a rock and the glass broke rock. She said, yes, she usually, I used to be part of my business. Anyway, so let's talk about that real quick. Roy and Kristen and Louisiana.
I'm wondering if they've ever gotten broken. I doubt it. They probably got bulletproof glass
tight,
and everything.
Was tight.
Yeah. They
and the LouisianaFuneralServices.com, LouisianaPetCrematory.com, y'all, the best people in the world.
Yeah.
Louisiana on that humongous American flag.
Giant
American flag. There are people. And look, so many lifers reach out to me every week saying, I keep forgetting that you used them, Jim.
I used them, and I'll tell you what. Sadly, I have a lot of friends that have pets, and every single time one tells me, that they're going to have to put their pet down, mm-hmm. I tell them, trust me, go to Louisiana Pet Crematory, and so much respect with the way that they do everything.
Right. And they do everything there, and it's the only place in Louisiana where you can get your own independent autopsy.
That's right.
So give them a shout out.
All right. If I were to start a new segment just out of the blue, I would call it BRUH, bruh.
Bruh.
Because when I read this article, that was my first thought was bruh.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
We're going to go to Florida. You're not going to believe this one.
All right.
A man who had a medical emergency while on vacation in Florida has died on the operating table after the surgeon mistakenly removed his liver instead of his spleen.
Nice.
William Bryant of Alabama was visiting the Florida Panhandle this last month when he suddenly began experiencing lower left abdominal pain. He and his wife, Beverly, they go to the Ascension Sacred Heart Emerald Coast Hospital. That's between Pensacola and Panama City. Doctors were concerned about the abnormality in his spleen, and they admitted him for further testing. Everything seems okay, right? General Surgeon Dr. Thomas Shabnosky and Chief Medical Officer Dr. Christopher Bacani persuaded the 70-year-old Brian to undergo emergency surgery at the hospital, or he could experience serious complications. So Brian, he goes ahead and he underwent that hand-assisted laparoscopic spleenectomy procedure. This happens, and in the middle of the surgery, Shabnosky removes Brian's liver instead of his spleen. The surgical snafu resulted in immediate and catastrophic blood loss, which resulted in his death. After erroneously removing Brian's liver, the general surgeon labeled the organ as a spleen. According to the law firm representing them, it was only identified as a liver after the man's death. Shabnosky allegedly told Beverly Bryan that her husband's spleen was so diseased that it was four times bigger than usual and had migrated to the other side of his body.
Oh, my God. You gotta be kidding me.
In a typical human body, the liver is located on the upper right side of the abdominal cavity, just below the diaphragm and above the stomach, right kidney, and intestines. The spleen is located on the upper left side of the abdomen next to the stomach and is significantly smaller than the liver. It's actually about 3 pounds lighter and roughly the size of your fist. The law firm said that Shabnosky also performed previous wrong site surgery last year, in which he was accused of removing a portion of a patient's pancreas instead of performing an adrenal gland resection. The case was settled and the terms were not disclosed in that case. Beverly Bryan said she retained the law firm to get justice, obviously, as she should. And this man is dead because this surgeon removed the wrong freaking organ. That's crazy. That makes you say, bruh.
You know,
it takes out routine shit.
That organ was so diseased, it was four times its normal size.
Yeah.
And it was on the wrong side of the body.
Wrong side. And it moved. The organ moved.
Because the dude's dead from it.
Yeah, right? But it's.
Wait a minute.
Crazy, man.
You can't tell the difference between a spleen and a liver?
I mean, I hope he gets sued, and he will.
See, that motherfucker needs to go to prison.
Everybody, yeah.
That's negligent homicide.
Totally.
I mean, you show such lack of care. I mean, you could have Googled it if there was a question in your mind and you're a doctor and you didn't know, right?
I mean, these people are on vacation. And, you know, they're going to spend time at the beach. Yeah. You end up going and getting what seemed to be a routine deal, and the dude pulls the wrong organ out.
That's, you know, I've seen them when you go in, like my dad was having surgeries on his arm, put pins and shit in after fall, and they right on your arm before the surgery, this arm.
Yeah.
Like, don't go in this arm, motherfucker, go in this one.
Cause yeah.
Yeah, they get it wrong, evidently. I mean, there's a reason people do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the policy procedure is going to be for a fucking doctor that can't tell the difference between the spleen.
No, and he labeled it the wrong thing.
That's
even
what I'm saying.
That's right? Crazy, yeah, man.
Stupid, bro.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, so yeah, he labeled it wrong. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, after he took it out.
Yeah.
I'm talking about ahead of time. I mean, you have to fucking say, hey, the spleen's on this side of the body. You're a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't look. It's not like these two organs. I mean, like it said, one of them's three times the size of the other. It's They don't even look
the
same.
It's the wrong side of
the
body.
Be like pulling out the heart when you were supposed to pull out a lung.
They need to take that dude's BAC.
Yeah. It's,
I'll talk about one more real quick. That is crazy as fuck. And this is short. But, Gene, NFL football started this weekend, last Thursday, Friday, whatever. But the main day was yesterday. And I like the Miami Dolphins. I liked them since last year when they were on Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Right?
And Tyreek Hill.
Dave Marino.
Larry
Zonka.
Tyreek Hill used to be the fastest man in the NFL. They call him the cheater, right?
Oh, yeah.
And now they got somebody, some rookie that came in a little bit faster. But, you know, yesterday on the way to the game, and they hadn't said everything that happened yet. Yesterday morning on the way to the game, they played the early game. He got pulled over by the cops and handcuffed and shit. They took him out of his vehicle.
Oh, I saw that.
And handcuffed him and all that shit. And he said he's a class act. Bro.
Yeah, he was very respectful.
And he said, look, I did exactly. I didn't disrespect him because my mama didn't raise me to be that way. He said, I want to be a cop. He said, I got a state trooper hat and everything. You know, before the incident.
Sure.
And he said, there's good, bad in every profession. And he said, but you know. He said, I'm not really going to comment on it. And they said, were you aware that he's already been placed on administrative leave? He said, but that should tell you all you need to know. He said, but what kept going through my mind is afterwards was what would have happened if I hadn't been Tyreek Hill? And my team, evidently, his teammates showed up. They had him in handcuffs.
Yeah.
And they asked him, said, did they put hands on you after you were in handcuffs? He said, yeah. They did. And then he said, I don't want to say any more about it other than, you know, he said, I got to still show up today and go to work. Mm. Right. And I got a family to provide for and all that. But evidently his teammates were on the way to the stadium also. And they saw him handcuffed to shed. And they got like, hey, motherfucker, what are you doing? That's our kid. What did you do? And still, we don't know what he did. Maybe he was speeding or whatever. He said, I was just driving and thinking, I'm going to catch me 5 touchdowns today. And I was in a good mood. And they pulled over and a cop pulled me over and everything, really sugar turned to shit. And,
yeah.
But I want to thank him for having a class, you know, handle it the way that he did.
That's right.
And he's still giving a shout out to the police. And he said, y'all protect us every day. And, you know, it's unfortunate that this happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's crazy.
Class act. And, you know, situations can escalate real fast.
Yeah. But I believe he appears to be a humble person. He said, I never raised my voice. I never was disrespectful. I don't know. Maybe it catches
a
black man rolling. He said, I don't want to make this about race, but
yes. Right. Well, I got one more quick one. And this is another crazy one. A woman working for Wells Fargo in Arizona died at work and was found 4 days later. So Denise Prudhomme, who is 60, she clocked in at Wells Fargo in Tempe, Arizona at 7 a.m. She was found at her desk on the third floor for 4 days later.
Nobody missed her.
Dead. Firefighters responded, and they pronounced that woman dead at 4:55 p.m. Prudhomme's cause and manner of death were pending. According to police, there was no signs of foul play, and an investigation is ongoing. Wells Fargo workers reported smelling a foul odor, but thought it was an issue with the plumbing. Local television stations reported. At least one employee told the outlet that they wondered why Wells Fargo didn't formally address workers about the woman's death initially. Most employees in the office work remotely, but the building has 24/7 security. Wells Fargo said that the company was communicating with the family before speaking to employees, but added that she was in a very unpopulated, quote-unquote, area of the building. There you have it. How wow. does that happen? And then how does, you know, it makes me, I'm sad in a way because nobody her family, she didn't have any family that was like, I hadn't talked to my sister in 4 days or my
and
mom or.
You stuck back at some corner.
It's yeah.
Wells
Fargo. Must have had a heart attack or something. And 4 days in your office.
4 days. And they only found you because only found you after 4 days because of the smell.
Yeah.
Where the fuck's our boss at?
He ain't at the office. I can tell you, if he was lying, he's busted now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a prison where you got to check him every 15 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, somebody should have checked that part of
4 days.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Pretty crazy lineup of news articles for y'all today. I hope y'all enjoyed that.
Yeah. That's a good one for Tuesday. And yep. Again, y'all get ready today. I'm just good because it's better to have it and not need it than
that's right. I'm already started my charging everything. You know, now they have flashlights that charge, right. Which is really nice because back in the day, you know, my wife would have me buy 900D size batteries that we don't need.
Yeah. You know? All different times, but
yeah.
Anyway. So, all right. We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for liking and listening and tuning in and sharing and all that good podcaster shit.
That's right. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich. Mm. And a crispy golden hash brown.
Ooh.
And your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6. All just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.